The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
President Michael D. Higgins has urged people to join trade unions and says their protection is surely urgent due to recent regressive trends in the world of work. People are being urged to join trade unions as it's surely urgent, according to President Michael D. Higgins. In a foreword to a book launching today, he criticised the regressive trends in the world of work. Now, I'm joined by the General Secretary of the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, Owen Reedy, and by the Director of Employer Relations at IBEC, Maeve McElwee. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Pat.
So, Owen, we'll go to you first. Your reaction to this endorsement of your movement by the President?
Well, I think it's wonderful. I think the President has a track record in human rights, civil rights, democracy, and he clearly sees the trade union movement and workers being able to have a collective expression on their work in the workplace as a fundamental part of our democracy. I mean, I think it's a statement of fact, but it's great that our first citizen in our republic sees that, and I think it's very much aligned with, you know, his politics over the years. He's always been a progressive, and he's always been an ally and a friend of the trade union movement, and I think he's 100% spot on, Pat.
I'm not surprised that he would be supportive of trade unions, given his political background, which was at the Labour Party. But there are many employers and employees who are quite happy with their terms and conditions and don't feel the need to be paying a weekly or monthly sub to a trade union.
Oh, and that's fine, Pat. You know, we want volunteers, not conscripts. You know, we don't want to be browbeating people to join a union. In fact, I think the situation is ripe for us out there. There's a report from a couple of academics in UCD, John Geary and Maria Bellathon, the Ireland Works report, and they talk about trade union voice. And they highlight, based on research, that 52% of 16 to 34-year-olds who aren't in unions would like to be in a union. So I think what we need to do is we need to remove the impediments that are still there in this state to allow people who wish to be in unions join unions. And actually, my predecessor, Patricia King, has done some really interesting work with Maeve and her colleagues in IBEC, in the Labour Employer Economic Forum, in the high-level group on the future of collective bargaining, to do just that. So actually, you know, I think a lot of people realise that we're in a place now, post-pandemic, where we need to make work pay. And those workers who wish to have a collective voice, it should be facilitated. And, you know, in many instances, Pat, you know, I spent 18 years working in SIP2. Much of that time was engaging with employers, restructurings to make the company productive, to make the company successful so the employer and the workers could share in the benefits of it. So, you know, I think it's about working together for a common interest. And I think stats show the European Union, with a new directive coming down the track, show that more collective bargaining, higher coverage of unions, of workers covered in employment agreements that unions and employers negotiate, means to better outcomes. So we're not trying to force anybody. We're not trying to compel anybody. But we want to make sure we facilitate people. And there are still impediments within our industrial relations that prevent workers being in a union.
What are the impediments?
Well, ultimately, if one of my colleagues and any of our affiliates organizes a sufficient number of workers in a given employment today, what do they normally do? They write to the employer and say, we've got a sufficient number of your employees that are members of our union. We'd like to have a discussion with you. As it stands today, if the employer says thanks but no thanks, really, the only thing we can really do is ballot for strike action. Now, in the 21st century, that is not the best way to run our industrial relations. One of the things that Maeve and Patricia, my predecessor, worked on is this really good report, which we welcome, which will encourage employers to engage in what's called good faith engagement with unions. It doesn't compel them, but it will put structures in place that will encourage and support that type of a process. I mean, that is progressive change, and I think we need to see that legislated for.
Yeah. But it seems extraordinary, though, that even what you said there, and which brings it back a bit to the bad old days of closed shops and trade unions and so on, that if the employer doesn't talk to you, the only thing you can do is strike. This is kind of what the Ryanair staffs did in various parts of the Ryanair empire across Europe. And in fairness to Ryanair, they did buckle and recognise trade unions.
They did. And, you know, if you and I were having this conversation 15 years ago, we would imagine that would never happen. And I think it shows a more enlightened approach. So we need to move away. You know, in the 21st century, we need to have modern, progressive industrial relations. And the default position shouldn't be for a group of workers who want to have a collective voice to be compelled to go on strike. That's not what anybody wants. It's certainly not what the workers want. So it's about modernizing our industrial relations whilst also keeping the kind of voluntarist nature that's at the heart of it. Mm-hmm. We want volunteers, not conscripts. We're not talking about closed shops.
Is there a world of two halves now, and I'll talk to Maeve about this as well, where the bulk of the public service, all of it, is represented by trade unions and the private sector, by and large, is not? And, you know, you could argue the private sector workers are, many of them are doing far better, if you listen to the sounds of their voices anyway, than the public service members who always seem to be complaining.
Well, statistics show that, as I said to you, when you look at the future of the world of work, and it's in the hands of the younger generation who are critical and key, 52% of workers from the age of 16 to 34 that aren't in a union have said they want to be in a union. And that's the largest cohort sample. So it suggests to me that the future of work, those who are going to be in it, wish to have a collective voice. So I think we need to reflect that, and we need to ensure that they get that in the interests of them and in the interests of the society that we have here in Ireland.
Maeve McElwee, Director of Employer Relations at IBEC. This is good for everybody, Maeve. Everybody in a trade union, good for society, good for the workers, and good for you, the employers.
Good morning, Pat. I think we'd start in some ways by taking issue with the comments around it being a lot of regressive trends that are coming forward in the first instance. I think, you know, as I think Owen would agree, we do have a pretty stable industrial relations environment here in Ireland, and we've worked very hard to make sure that we have that stability. We also have hugely progressive statutory employment rights, with more coming all of the time. And I think most employers would look now and say, in actual fact, it's not even the amount, it's the speed and pace at which they're coming that is our biggest challenge. But when it comes to you know, the whole issue around trade union membership, I think what we have been tracking over the last number of years is that whole move towards stakeholder capitalism, the recognition that, you know, it's not just the shareholder, but the business has a much broader impact in society, looking at the whole environmental, social governance agenda, and the importance of that to business. So I think we do see that the trends are shifting, and the way people are considering how they engage at work is shifting as well.
Yeah, but what about trade unions? When you get a group of people, a significant group, if it's too small a group, it won't make any difference, because if they put a picket at the gate, people will pass it if they're too insignificant. But if they become a large number of employees within an organisation and they put a picket on the gate, nobody will pass it for social, if not reasons of principle. So what do you think of this notion that everybody should be in a trade union, volunteering to be rather than conscription, as Owen pointed out?
What I think is really important, and what workers and employees tell us, is that actually they want choice, and people want to have engagement with their employers, and they are very actively engaged with their employers. But there are lots of different ways in which to do that. And over many years, HR has become a much more professional part of our business operations.
Yeah, but,
and many organisations, well, just to finish the point, Pat, many organisations already have very professional direct engagement models, which are collective models as well as trade union models.
I know that, but the suspicion is on the part of the employee that HR is a creature of management, not a creature. It's a one-way street. And I mean, talk to anybody in any organisation and they will always say, well, HR, they're always on the management side. They're managing a problem for the hierarchy, not a problem for the underling.
I would say that I think that that's a very old interpretation of HR.
It's the reality.
HR actually tend to be the advocates for the employees. And instead of looking at managing problems, we're really looking at managing a really significant and probably in most businesses, most critical asset, which is the people and the work that those people do to keep the business moving forward.
Have you ever come across an HR person saying to the boss, "You're wrong. The employee is right"? I mean, it just doesn't happen.
Well, I have to challenge that and say, absolutely, of course it does. That's the whole point of having a really strong engagement piece.
And then the HR person loses their job. I'm just thinking, you must despair when you see the carry-on of Elon Musk. Gives employers a bad name. And it would be no wonder that young people going into the tech sector would be thinking, God, I do need a union.
I absolutely think people should be engaged without a doubt. And of course, you know, there are still provisions and very strong legislation to ensure that where compliance and that appropriate compliance doesn't happen, because you have to have strong employment regulation to have a good, strong labour market, then, of course, that those issues around compliance need to come into effect where people haven't adhered to them. But on the issue of trade unions and trade union engagement, to come back to the piece that Owen was talking about a little bit earlier on, IBEC have been doing really significant work through the Labour Employer Economic Forum, looking at how we will engage into the future, looking at how collective bargaining operates, and really taking cognizance of the fact that we've seen these trends on the whole ESG agenda, as I've said, looking at the European Directive on adequate minimum wages coming forward, and trying to look at mechanisms that actually allow that engagement with the trade unions to happen in a much more progressive way, and in a way that takes away some of the fear of direct recognition and the conflict that can arise, and actually opens the door to opportunity for positive engagement.
Oh, okay, you'd prefer anything,
for both sides to try
anything
to
but a union, basically,
together.
Is your message.
No,
I'm
absolutely, I'm not saying that. Actually, that's not what I'm saying at all, Pat. Here in IBEC, we work with the trade unions at organisational level and at national level all day, every day. It's a really important aspect of our own stakeholder engagement. And together with Congress and the trade unions, we worked really hard to get the Labour Employer Economic Forum off the ground, to make sure that we were having that tripartite engagement with government, because we really believe that we have to have a strong professional organisation with the employees' voice to mirror our own, or else it doesn't work. And so we have worked really hard on that group that Owen has already mentioned to make sure that we are looking much more progressively around that engagement. And we have a good variety of voices through engagement with employers.
Last words to you then, Owen.
Well, Pat, I mean, I've dealt with many HR managers over the years. I've dealt with some that are very good and progressive, and I've dealt with some that are very poor. At the end of the day, if a group of workers want to have an independent voice at work, and I stress independent because, you know, the HR manager, as you've correctly outlined, is a member of management. If they want an independent voice at work where they can collectively express their interests, the only way to do that is an independent trade union. And I think the wind is with us, and we're incredibly optimistic about the future, growing our movement, making work pay, and making sure that the workplace in Ireland is a fairer place, and that we're not relying on labour law, which is minimalist. And that
labour law is not minimalist, Owen. You can't say that.
It is minimalist. It's the floor, not the ceiling, Pat. It is your basic rights. You know, what do trade unions exist for? We exist to make sure that we get a better share of what is produced. If we rely on labour law, it is the basic minimums. The trade union movement deliver much, much more. And actually, we're seeing tech workers contacting our unions right now because they're beginning to realise that, and they need a collective voice.
Okay, I'll just give you this from Tom. I'm a member of SIPTU. I've had no pay rise since 2009. I've paid in €4,000 in subs for zero service, in my opinion. Very disappointed. SIPTU knows the company well, but awful representation from them. So there's one of your own members who doesn't think you're delivering for him.
Well, I mean, Pat, you can read out any given text. I worked 18 years in SIPTU. It's the largest union in the country. And I know when I worked there, and still today, the union officials and the workplace activists spend most of their time working on behalf of their members to protect employment, to improve employment, and to improve pay, and to make sure workers have a voice. And if we have a recession coming, the only way workers are going to have a voice is to make sure that they have the opportunity and the right, should they wish, to join a union. And I think workers, the stats show us, 16 to 34-year-olds, 52% of them, want a union. I think that speaks volumes. So we need to modernise, we need to evolve, we need to reflect what workers need and want, but I think the future's with us.
We will leave it there. Owen Reid, General Secretary of the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, and the Director of Employer Relations at IBEC, Maeve McElwee, thank you both very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.